Yes, I'd like to bless all of the ladies this morning, because God created each one, and it was God's choice whether you'd be born a male or a female. And so we know that God created women, and you know, we often talk about mothers, but God has put a mother heart in each woman. And as we saw on the PowerPoint this morning, that women are called in many different fields. And we know that no child is by accident, that they're chosen by God, and we've been adopted into his family. And so we know that each woman that has been born has a purpose. And we saw that there are mothers, there are women who bear children, but there are many other mothers. This is ringing a little bit. I don't know whether it's the... there are other mothers that have mothers' hearts. And, you know, it's important to understand that a mother can bear a child and she's called mother, but there is a difference to being a mother and mothering. And unfortunately, there are many women today who do not know how to mother. And I know I was a child of a mother who didn't know how to mother. And sometimes women can have the best intentions. And when a baby's little, they love them and love to coo over them and play with them. But as the children grow and their demands grow with them and there are challenges, mothers feel lost in that role. They don't know how to really move forward. And so today is Mother's Day. And many of you have come this morning, and you may be standing strong in that role of motherhood. Some of you may be struggling in that role. Some of you may have had bad role models. But you see, it's not a matter of the role model that we've had. It's a matter of our choice about what we want to do and how we want to be. And we have the Word of God, which teaches us how to be the mother that God created us to be. Elder Lewis prayed, women have lost their mothers just recently. And so, but even to you men, you all had mothers. So this morning, whatever is being said relates to you as well. And we know it's a wonderful time to have a day set aside, but we know that it's very much a pagan idea. It isn't a biblical thing that mothers be set aside on a certain day, because God's will is that mothers be honoured every day. And it's not so much for what we do. God wants women honoured for who they are. And we can only find who we are in him. And as we find that, we will grow to be what God created us to be, the mothers that will be a blessing to our children. But firstly, we need to be a blessing to our husbands. And in that role and togetherness, then we will mother in a correct way. This morning, there are many things that have been said about mothers. And there are many women in the Bible that we can use as role models, and many of you know of them. But this morning I want to talk from another aspect. And I want to speak about the recognition of mother, the resourcefulness of mother, and the responsibility of mother. And so when we look at the recognition of a woman firstly needs to come, we know, receive that from God, but from our husbands. Men, it is your responsibility to stand alongside your wife and to honour her and love her, to protect her and care for her. The Word of God says that man has been called for that role. That's the man's role. He's not called to be the gentle nurturer in that sense, but he's been called to be the coverer and the authority and the one who stands alongside his wife and protects her and honours her. And there is no greater gift to your children than when you honour your wife, because the children see that and it gives them good things. I grew up in a home where that was not done, and bad pictures and ugly pictures were shown to me as a child, as many of you may have seen, pictures that were very distorted of what family life was meant to be. And I only saw man as a basher, as being cruel, of being distant and being unloving. And yet as I grew, I learned that this man had great needs in his heart, and obviously they were not fulfilled. But you see, I learned that in my life that I needed to look at other images. And I praise God for special people that God put in my life, even as a child. Even though they weren't Christians, they had a better understanding of what a man and a woman should be. And then as I grew, and before John and I married, God placed some beautiful Christian women in my life. There were three important women in my life that came at different stages, and they and their husbands mirrored to me what marriage should be, and I wanted that with everything. I wanted that. But I had to learn that just getting married doesn't give those things, just as just bearing a child doesn't make you a mother. It makes you a mother in the sense you're a mother, but it doesn't fulfill the purposes that God has for you. And we know those of us that are mothers, or those who have been foster mothers or aunties or uncles or carers of children, we need to grow and to learn what it means to outwork this mother, and we can find that only in the Word of God. So we don't just suddenly have a baby and then suddenly have all of these things. So if you're a young mother, don't be frustrated, because as we learn, we grow and we get better at doing these things. And so we need to understand what God means about a man standing with his wife and being all that God has called him to be, so that his wife might grow. And so it says in Ephesians 5:33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And so a man is called to cover his wife and protect her. And for the teenagers here today, and also I must say I'm sorry, when I was honouring for the conference, I just want to thank the music team as well, and particularly the guys that came along. It's not always easy to come in amongst a lot of women, and that were on the PA desk. Both of Pastor Chris and Muriel's sons were here. Brendan and Hayden were here. Jeremy was here, doing a great job on the PA, and the guy that did the photos, Clinton, yes, thank you. So we do, Quinton, sorry, we do thank you as well, because the worship and the music was really wonderful. And so back to teenagers. You know, today's Mother's Day, and sometimes we get all excited on Mother's Day and want to make Mum breakfast in bed and do special things for her. But you see, God's watching your hearts every day. He wants you to honour your mother Monday through to Sunday. He wants you, and you see, honouring isn't always feeling happy about things. Sometimes mums and dads can say things that we don't like, and we don't like no, do we? We don't know, like, you can't do that now. But you see, we may not like that, but we are to separate that from how we feel about our parents. And this morning we're speaking about mothers. And you see, honour is a very, very important thing. The Word of God says in Exodus that we are to love and honour. And so Exodus says, 20:12, honour your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And that scripture, I learned that very early in my Christian life. And you see, because of the background I came from, as I said, I grew to understand that I needed to forgive my parents, and as we're speaking today about mothers, to forgive my mother, but I didn't understand about honouring. And then someone came to me and shared with me that I needed to honour my mother. And I found that very, very difficult, because I couldn't find anything that I could say that I could honour as what I understood was honour. But you see, the Word of God doesn't change, and the Word of God says that we are to honour if we want to receive the blessings of God. And so if you're struggling today with a bad image of your mother, as adults or even as teenagers, the Word of God says we're not just to forgive so that we would be free, but we are to honour. And so that honouring is, you know, many people say it's respect, but it's more than respect. It's thanking God that he gave. And the greatest thing that came to me was that with all of her frailties and all of those things, that my mother was chosen by God to bear me. And so you were chosen to come from that mother. And so you need to be thankful that she was the vessel that God used to bring you into the world. If you have had a loving mother, well, you are richly blessed. If you have had a godly mother, you are doubly blessed. But you see, God is speaking to us today. We can't go back and change what has happened. God showed me that I couldn't change my mother. I couldn't change the things. But you know, once I started to understand about honouring, this deep love for her came. This deep gratitude, this thankfulness and this understanding that she came and she gave out of her own confused and mixed up life. She did the best that she could. And so we start to turn then from being critical to starting to find things that are good. And God wants us in our lives to look back, and it's like a sifting as God sifts. We are to sift and we are to hold on to the good things and let go of the difficult things. We are to hold on to the precious and let go of the things that would try to cause us pain. We're to move forward. And then out of that, God said, you can't change the past, but I've given you a choice for your future. I've given you a choice for today. And we heard on Friday night about a pioneer woman who had to make choices, but how those choices became powerful. And so I chose, I didn't know how I was going to do it. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I chose that my life would be completely different to the one that I'd been raised in, that my home, our home would be different, that our children would be raised differently. I remember when I'd just had Ross, and so I had my four little children, and I went down to a park. It was actually in Werribee, and I had the children, and this lady went past and she went, "Oh dear, you've got your hands full." And my quick response was, "Yes, nicely filled, thank you." You see, the world is out there, and the world and broken people have the wrong concept of having children. Sadly today we see there are many children that are born that are not wanted. We see, abortion clinics being filled, and people are running in all sorts of directions. And we see we've got a world that will look and say, "Oh, what did you have another baby for?" You know, I remember when John and I announced that we were having our first daughter, Kayleen, with my family, it was met with horror. It was like, "Why would you want to have a baby at this stage? You haven't got a house, you haven't got this." And we were just overjoyed to be having a child. Thankfully, there were John's family and others that were happy about this. But it puts a lot of confusion in a girl's mind. And we know that the world is full of people that are ready to say negative things about children. But we know that they're a blessing, and they're a blessing from God. Parents, love your children and be a blessing to them. And so, children, you need to be very thankful for your mothers. And a mother is very, very resourceful. Proverbs 31 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the way of a household, and she doesn't eat the bread of idleness." A mother is a maker, a mender, a moderator, and a teacher. A mother does many, many things. She mends, she makes chocolate pudding, she makes cakes, she sews dresses, and harder than sewing, she fixes and patches and remakes things, and she makes peanut butter sandwiches. A mother makes all sorts of things. She mends broken dishes and broken hearts. She patches trousers' knees. She wipes runny noses, and she fixes cut knees, torn jackets, puts a band-aid on a finger, kisses it better. And one of the other thing is that all of a sudden, and I think of you younger mums, you know, you're getting your children off to school and they're all ready to go, and suddenly the little one runs back, and I can just imagine Laura Lee or Neil coming back and saying, "But Mum, it's a special day, I've got to take cakes today." And suddenly Leonie flies into a flourish and says, "Oh, quick, I've got to make a patch of cakes." Well, they go, or the night before they'll come up with some incredible thing. I know one of my grandchildren said to their mother, I forget what it was, but they had to dress up. So the mother was up to Laura Lee, I was making this costume for the child. And you see, that's a mother's heart to do those things. You see, God has made mother very flexible. And you know, please, men, God has made you in an awesome way too, and you have many abilities. There are so many things I can't do that I need my husband. I need him because I love him, but I need him too because there are many things I can't do, opening jars and fixing things and all of these things. But God has made women very flexible. We are very flexible, and the more we grow in motherhood, the more flexible we come, and we can bend and do all sorts of things. And John could never understand how I could wheel the pram with one foot while the baby was crying and peel the potatoes. But that's what we need to have to do when our children are in that way and we've got to get a meal on. So a mother does all sorts of things. She can teach the love of books and music. She can even turn, more importantly, her children's heart to God. And that's our main purpose, to bring the things of God to our children. But sadly, I've been married 55 years and had lots of children in my home, and I have not yet successfully been able to teach a child not to slam a door or not to walk in with muddy feet. So, but we learn to be gracious and smile at those things and just allow it. In fact, I've got one grandchild. It's like as they come in, you just sort of go like that because you know the door's going to bang and really, really hard. And the same when they get out of the car, the whole car shakes as they slam the door. But a mother is immune to surprises. I had to learn to be immune to all sorts of things, whether it's a glass of water sitting on your very good buffet, or a cat sleeping on your fresh sheets when you've just made your bed, worms in trouser pockets, and I used to find many of those, or frogs, or all sorts of ugly-looking spiders, good and bad report cards, split foreheads, and nothing ever surprises, really, because you just have to go with the flow. But sometimes a mother can reach a despair when the washing machine doesn't work, when the clothes are all wet and not the weather's not very good outside, the baby gets into the bin and starts to eat the rubbish, and the three-year-old puts their car at the front door just as a visitor's liable to arrive and slip over it. And suddenly, fingerprints all over the house when you're having visitors and you want to put it nice. And so there are times when a mother can become a little bit frazzled. The stew sticks or the pudding flops in the middle. And all of these sort of things that a mother does during the day. And sometimes these things happen every so often. Sometimes they all happen at once, as many of us know. But we need to learn to deal with that. And you see, where the problem comes is when we don't know the Lord, when we don't have that loving relationship, when we don't feel loved, when these things happen, when our children do things, there are some days we might get up and we feel good so we can cope with it. But then there are days we're not feeling so good. Maybe we've had a word with our husbands. Maybe there's bills coming in. Maybe we're not feeling very happy about ourselves. Maybe we don't feel loved ourselves. And so what do? We will take our frustration out on our children. And that's what many mothers do. And I know with my mother, her whole life was a turmoil. And so she had nothing but turmoil to pour out on me and my sisters. But when we have the Lord, we can take a deep breath, we can go and pray, and we can ask God to bring us into balance. And more so, when we do get upset, we can ask God forgiveness and then ask our children to forgive us as well. And so we see that a mother's responsibilities are many. And so we need to understand as mothers that we have an enemy out there who is seeking those whom he might destroy. And you know what? Today he's after our children. Children are on the hit list. And we see that. We're only talking at ladies on Thursday about the way we don't have to be overstressed about R-rated movies now because we've got R-rated ads. Everything on the television is geared to destruction. It's geared to teach our children the wrong attitude of love. It's geared to teach them it's about what I can get, not what I can have or what I should have. It's about give me, give me, give me. Everything's about you. Everything's about the child. And we see also that we have modern technology, which is wonderful. And everything has been given to us to enjoy. But just the same as God has made the day for us and not us for the day, God has made all of these appliances for us, not them to control us. But we see today that modern technology is controlling our children. I actually saw a program the other day. I happened to come across it, and I was so thrilled. This man was on, and he was sharing. He actually had a psychology degree, and he was sharing about the concern of everybody with children with all of these. And I get all the iPods and the iPhones and all those muddle up, but whatever they are, the children play. And my grandchildren have them as well, and they've become babysitting tools. Once it was a television, you would put them in front of the television. But now children as young as three, sometimes younger, are there playing with these things, and they get onto all sorts of violent games and all sorts of things. But whether or not it's a good game or a bad game, it isn't good for them to be spending all of their time playing these things. They're finding it's having an adverse effect on their brain. And they were saying, and nothing sadder than if you go out somewhere, particularly in school holidays, and you see a table with a mother with her children there, and they're all sitting there on their phones or their games. There's no interaction, there's no discussion. At family time, people don't eat meals together now. I visit a lot of homes with the area of ministering to women in need. And I'm just amazed at how the television dictates the whole situation, or the games. They're sitting, there's no family interaction. And the other thing that troubles me is the way children take these things to bed. And so even their phones, and they're getting text messages all night, and we're wondering, teachers are wondering why children are falling asleep at school. I really thank the Lord, because with our kids, our children who are parents, the phones have to, when they go to bed, they're put on the table. And the whatever the device is, they're put on the table and the children go to bed. They're not to take them to their rooms. And our son Gary, his eldest daughter's going to be 21 in July, and Nathan's just turned 18. The same rules apply. They line up. It's just not even a thing that has to be said by the parents anymore. They just put them on the table when they go to bed. Because bed is for sleep. It's for rest. It's for time with God to pray, not to be looking at these things. So we know that the enemy's out to take hold of our children in any way he can. And he will try to do that with all of these devices. But what can we do? How can we stand against these overwhelming things? Well, we need to teach our children the Word of God. We need to lay down firm instruction. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, not depart from it. So we need to be training them. And even if your children are older and you've not long become a Christian, it's never too late. Grandparents need to be speaking into their grandchildren's lives, praying for them, but bringing these principles. Aunties and uncles, people that feel their mothers in the Lord. You know, it's very, very important to understand the Word of God is true, and the Word of God speaks very clearly to us about what we're to do with our children, how we are to train them and how they are to grow. The Bible says that very clearly that God said in Deuteronomy 31, bring the men and women and children that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of the law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as you live. And so God is calling parents, and particularly mothers, because mothers have more time to be able to speak the things. And we know about Timothy, don't we? It speaks in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance, Paul says, the unfeigned faith that is with you, which first dwelt within your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and that comes from a child that knows the Holy Scripture. And so we see that it needs, and I thank God that it's the generational thing of the Word of God has come down through our family. And you see, if you want your grandchildren to know the things of God, you need to teach your children. Because as you teach your children and they really take hold of it, then they will then impart that to their children. If we don't teach our children, it becomes harder. It doesn't mean it isn't possible, because many of us here today are the first generation of the things of God. But it becomes more difficult. God calls us. And you see, as I said, I learned to glean off other people. And the scripture says doesn't it, in Timothy and Titus, that the older women are to teach the younger women how to love their husbands and to love their children. And I remember when I first read that, I thought, well, you know, I love my husband. People love their husbands and they love their children. But you see, the Word of God's not talking about this emotional love. It's talking about this unconditional love that will keep us as we go through these difficult times. Because emotional love will give up. This ooey-gooey love will give up. And I thank God today to be a spiritual mother of quite a few young women, to be able to encourage them. And even as John and I have travelled around, I have taught these things, and I still get emails, many of them phone calls, from women that ask help and need for their children. And you see, I don't speak out of my life. I speak out of what the Word of God has taught me, because my life counts for nothing in that sense. It's only the Word of God that is within me that can bring hope and bring restoration and can bring a breaking through into these lives. And so, mothers, teach your children, even your adult children. Don't be afraid. Sometimes we can become so intimidated. I know with my mother, the reverse, I wanted so much for her to know Christ. And so I tried. I would go and I would teach her, speak to her about Scripture. And one day a friend said to me, "Don't do that, Pat. Just love her. And show the Scripture out if you like, and speak the Scripture, but not in rhyme. Speak love to her. Speak the things of God to her in a natural way." And so I found, firstly, that when I honoured my mother, God, I know, started to make a change. It took time, but I was able to love her and honour her and share with her. And often the more I would share this love with her, the more aggressive she would become. And I've had, and I say this truthfully, I've had many people say to me, they were amazed at how I was able to have my mother. My mother took her in to live with us. When we were in, before we went to Western Australia, she was with us, and then she went and lived somewhere else when we first went to Western Australia. And then she got herself into trouble, so John and I drove day and night between the two of us, 3 days, to come home from Newman, which is a long way, to pick her up because she was a mess and take her back with us to Newman. And from then on, and then we brought her back home here, and we had her in our home in Curtin Street till not long before she died. And you know, I used to say, "God, you've got to give me the strength, because there was no change and I didn't want this to come to my children." But you know, God is faithful, because the things of God have been sown into my children. They love my mother. They grew up to see some of the things that weren't as they would maybe expect, but they loved her. And they saw that I loved her and that I honoured her. And so because we had a good relationship, we were able to be that in between, and our children spoke to us about everything. And my mother would even encourage my children to lie. But because they understood about those things and they would come to speak to John and I, we were able to move through those things. And so I had the wonderful joy of seeing my mother come to Christ about 6 years before she died. And it was just awesome. And then she shared with me how that breaking had been coming over many years, but she just wouldn't surrender. And so we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't be afraid when we get this rejection. We've got to know that God is still working. The same as with our children. Sometimes as our children grow up to teenagers, they can say cruel words. They can say nasty things. They can wander away from home or from us. But we need to hold on to the Word and hold on to what we know that we have sown into them, and know that God is a God who will call them back. He will call back what is sown in. If there's nothing in there, it doesn't mean God can't use someone to come and witness to them. But particularly if we've put in, God will call that back. We have to believe that and stand in that promise. I read a story about a little girl. She was only 2 and a half. at three, sorry, and she had to stand up in a Sunday school thing, much as we had here this morning, and she had to quote a scripture. And when she got up the front, and obviously, and we saw this morning with the little ones there, just delightful, that little boy standing there, and he was like just overcome by all of the people, and some of them become starstruck and speechless, and this little girl was like that. And so she was standing there just panicking, and she looked down at her mother, and her mother saying, "I'm the light of the world." And all of a sudden her face lit up and she said, "My mummy is the light of the world." And of course everyone smiled, but you see, when you think about it, to a little three-year-old, mummy is the light of the world. Mummy has the answer. My children, particularly my younger son, used to think I could do anything. I was superwoman, from gutting rabbits to resuscitating ferrets and doing all sorts of things. I'd go into work to the hospital and they'd say, "Now, what was the adventure today? What did you do today?" And so we have to understand that our children look to us, and to them we are pretty, pretty special. And so mothers, we need to be an example. Our children learn as much by what they see as what they hear. And children know the difference between whether you're real or not. It's easy to put on a smiling face when you go out amongst people, and as soon as you get outside, to grab your kids and shove them or give them that evil look or whatever. And so children know, because they live with you, so they know what's real. And they want to grow and learn from what is real, not what is false. Just to close, I want to share very quickly a very special thing about the things of God. In the early Bible times, Jewish women waited and hungered for the Messiah to come to change the world. They were in hope of victory. They had the promise of faith. But today we stand in a different place. Mothers, we stand in victory. We already have the victory. We are not living and mothering in hope. We have been given the truth. We are mothering in victory. We're not bearing children to clear a field, or we're not bearing children to work in the harvest. It's so easy for us to get caught up in the details of mothering, the details of lost cups and messy tables and messes on the floor and all those things. And those things are important. They've got to be fixed up. They've got to be done. But don't focus on those things. We get caught up with the demanding work of keeping the fridge full and the laundry basket empty, and we worry over our children's school grades and their scholarships or their higher marks. We worry about buckling them into their cars and all those details, which are very important, but they shouldn't be the focus. They're not the main aim of mothering. The sacrifices that we make every day are not made losing a battle. They're sacrifices of victories. They are the cost of winning the war. And so if we get caught up in those things, we'll be a bit broken down by them, and we will be worn out, and we won't realise the true thing that we're doing, that everything we do is winning the war. It's on the side of victory. God does not share, it might surprise you, that God does not share your sentimental view of motherhood. I remember when I had Kayleen and my first child, and I just thought it was the most wonderful thing that I could be a mother, to have this gift of life placed within my hands. And if you knew what I was like, you would understand how I felt. Many of you may have been the same, may still be the same. And it was all absolutely wonderful and joyful, but it was also terrifying, that how could I possibly raise this child? And then when I would look at her with love and play with her and just wanted to spend my whole time with her, not do anything else, just play with her, as someone says to me, children are time wasters. Well, I was happy to waste my time. I would play on the bed with her, and then I'd say, I've got to go and cook tea. But I felt that God was in that with me, that God was into all these sentimental things and all of these wonderful things that we think about children. But you see, God isn't. into that sentimentality of the little dimples in the arms and the little smiling cheeks and the kissable lips and the little chubby legs and all of that, because God knows that he's put that love in a mother's heart that she'll automatically feel those things. No, to them, God sees them as weapons in the hand of mighty men and women. God does not tell you to desire the blessing of children because their cheerful voices will make your house feel cozy. And sadly, that's what many people want children for, so that their homes will be full of the noise and the happiness of children. And that's all good, don't get me wrong. He tells us to desire children who will be contenders against the enemy, that we are raising up arrows, that we are raising up children to stand in the gap. So it's natural for us to delight in the little things with our children. But as I said, God knows that we would do that. God has a greater purpose and a greater plan. The love that we need, the remedies we need, is to love them, not for our sake, but for the sake of God, so that through them they will do what God has called them to be. We need a supernatural love. We need to believe in the victory and have a confidence as a mother that God will give us that victory, that God will have that victory because he has it already won. We need to understand, as I said, that our children are arrows in our hands. It says in Psalm 8:2, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. These mouths that we were feeding and are feeding, these are the mouths that God has ordained to silence the enemy. The victory is ours because Jesus Christ is ours. And so this morning, because of time, I've sort of hurried through those things. But if you can remember, of all things, that God has called us to be responsible mothers. He's called us to be responsible. He's called us to be women of integrity. He's called us to be women of purpose. He's called us to be women of honour. He's called us to know in our own hearts that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are your works, and my soul knows that well. My substance was not hidden from thee when I was made in that secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes, O Lord, did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in your book all the members were written, which is the countenance, and my countenance was fashioned when as yet there were none of them. And so it's important that as we grab hold of our purpose in God, but more than that, we grab hold of the great love, the unconditional giving love that God so loved each one of you, man, woman and child. But today, mothers, God loved you so much that he sent his son, that he would hang on the cross and he would say, it is finished. It is finished. I have broken the way for you. Enter in now to all the fullness. And to remember that we need to be recognised as strong women of faith. We need to stand alongside our husbands. We need to respect them. We need to support them. But we need you men to stand alongside and cover us, to love us with that unconditional giving love, and to protect us. We need to understand that God has made us resourceful. He's made us flexible. Sometimes we think we're just not up to the task, but if we look into the Word of God, we will see. Now, we're all different. Some of us are geared one way, some another. And sometimes, you know, and I believe this, there's no perfect package. Some women, when they have a child, they're very good at babies. They love babies, and that was me. I loved being a mother. I loved it when my children were little. I loved all of it, mind you. But I loved it when they're little because I felt capable then. But as my husband would tell you, as they started to grow, particularly Kayleen, I started to become afraid because I didn't know whether I was up to the task. Now she was old enough to see me as a person. What would she see? What would she think? And that's when I had to, again, with John's encouragement, go back to my confidence in God, my identity in him, and then learn what it meant to, and we learn on our eldest children, but we do learn, and we learn how to break the way with them, and so then it gets easier. But each teenager is different. They all have their own needs. They all have their own personality. So our resourcefulness as a mother, we need the strength of God. Some women are better with teenagers. They struggle with babies. They're frightened of little babies. But again, God is there. And then there's the responsibility that we have to bring our children up so that they will stand strong and not be shaken, that they will know what the truth is that will set them free, that they will know what it's like to stand in the midst of difficulties and not be broken down and to be fearful. And also remember that if you struggle with your own parents or your own mother, there are those women who stand in the strength of God who would be willing to mentor you or to disciple you or to direct you. And also, all of us are called to that, that it doesn't matter what age, it says the older women. It's not just talking about the older women as in age, it's talking about maturity. And so even you younger women, as you've had your children and God's taught you many things, you need to be there as a shoulder for other women. Particularly, we need to know that we go out clean, covered in his righteousness, knowing his victory, this same power that raised Christ from the dead. You need to know that you know that that lives in you, because we go out into a world where there are many mothers that struggle. We go out into a world where there are many children that are crying, that are lonely, that are lost. We see horrific things on our television screen, through the internet, in the newspaper, about children that are broken and beaten. We see women that are bashed. We see terrible, terrible things that are happening. We need to stand up, church. We need to start to be men and women, mothers and fathers, that know what it means to have our own home clothed in that. And you see, that's your mandate. If you know that you're walking in God in your home, God will use you in the kingdom. God will use you mightily in ways you could never imagine to go out and to mother the motherless and the fatherless, to cover them with love, to speak to them. We have a great task. And also to teach our children that they are not to be silent either, that even in the schools and wherever they are, that they can speak about Jesus, but more so they can show the example of being a loved child, a protected child, a confident child in the things of God. So I bless you this morning. I just thank you for all that you do in this church. I thank you, mothers, for the role that you take as grandmothers, as aunties, as carers, as nurturers of your own children and maybe others. And God will continue to bless whatever you do. And for you men that stand alongside these women, rise up and be all that God called you to be. The Word of God is full of instruction. Read it so that you will know exactly what it is, not only that you're to do, but the riches that God has in here to bless your life with. And the Word of God says that when we're blessed, we can bless others. Do you know that you're blessed? Take hold of it as a real living thing. Take hold of this blessing so that you will be a blessing to others. Father God, I just thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love, Lord God. I praise you and thank you for your word, Father. And I pray that you would impart by your Spirit your word, your truth, Lord, not my words, but your word and your truth into the hearts of each man, woman and child who is present, Father. And even for others who may listen to this tape, Lord God, that you would encourage them that today is a new day, that we can make all things new today, that we have a choice to choose who we will be today. What sort of mother will I be today? What sort of mother will I be to my children, grandmother to my grandchildren, mother to spiritual children, needy children, children that need so much? What sort of a daughter will I be to you, Lord God? Will I stand before you and know that you are pleased with me? Will I hear you, Lord God, bless me as I bless others? Father God, I pray that will be our choice today. Each woman, each man, Lord God, would choose to honour. That you have said, Father, to honour our fathers and mothers. Lord, we all want to live long. We all want to fulfil your purposes. And Father, I thank you that you have blessed me with a good life And I believe that's been because of obedience to your word and because I learned what it meant to be honoured. For if we don't know how to honour, we cannot receive honour. But Father, I praise you today that your word is truth, just imparted to each heart, and bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord.